Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Jurors in Boston's federal court heard almost 3 hours of closing arguments today in the extortion trial of four Teamsters accused of threatening the production of the reality TV show Top Chef that was filmed here in Boston in 2014. Testimony ended earlier this week after lawyers for the four union members did not call any witnesses. Prosecutors say the Teamsters showed up at a Top Chef filming in Milton and threatened the cast and crew for not hiring union labor. The Teamsters say they were just exercising their right to protest a non-union production. For the latest in the case, we're joined now from the Moakley Federal Courthouse in Boston by WBUR senior reporter David Boeri. Hi, David.
Hi, Esther.
So, David, today was closing arguments. Can you set the scene for what that atmosphere was like in the courthouse?
Well, the drama has always been in this case what the prosecution is charging and describing and the behavior. They have a 54-second video that was collected by one member of the crew of Top Chef. They show that, but what you see on that video mm-hmm. is four men engage in what can only be called thuggish behavior. Mm-hmm. They engage in what I think we'd all agree is racist comments, vile, homophobic, misogynistic. It's all there. And in addition, the star of that show, Top Chef, testified. Her name is Padmalachki.
Mm-hmm.
And she testified.
Oh, yeah, the model. Yeah, former model.
Right, Top Chef. She's the star. You imagine her saying, as her description goes, that the Teamster leaned into the car and said to her, "We're going to bash your pretty little face in."
Ooh.
Also, another Teamster told one of the crew members, "You're lucky the cops are here because I would kill you." So that's always been the dramatic part of this case. And then we had closings today in which the prosecution set out their case. This was not a picket, said Assistant U.S. Attorney Christina Barkley. This was not a picket. This was not
mm-hmm.
four unemployed guys trying to get jobs for their out-of-work brothers and sisters. This was four men threatening to cause harm to the Top Chef show in order to get jobs. That's extortion. And that was the closing statement.
That was the closing argument from the prosecution side.
Right.
Okay. And what about the defense's argument?
Well, this is what's fascinating, and it gets you into some really complicated but interesting stuff, is that they, in the words of Hollywood, they decontextualized what the prosecution was saying and said, look, in fact, this is a case of people protesting the fact that a non-union company wasn't creating jobs for union members. And
mm-hmm.
this is their right. This is their right. They showed a willingness to talk to the union, or they seemed to show a willingness to talk to the union in the beginning. There were negotiations. They, in fact, walked away. And so we're protesting that. And that's what we are doing.
And did they address at all the video that you're referencing or some of the sort of harsh language?
No, they don't want to address that because it's contemptible,
uh-huh.
it's outrageous, it's disgusting. But what they're arguing, and here's the key to this case, what they're arguing is this is protest. And it goes back to, by the way, to a Supreme Court ruling that set the tone in this. It's called the Edmunds decision.
Mm.
And what the Supreme Court found in that ruling was that you cannot be charged with federal crimes of extortion if the underlying act is carried out to enhance a union bargaining position. In other words, you can slash tires,
mm-hmm.
you can engage in even violent acts, but that's not covered by the Hobbs Act, by federal law. There
wow.
may be a state statute, but it's not covered by that.
And you say violent acts. I mean, I don't even know. What could you do? I mean, David, you could do all sorts of violence.
Well,
you're saying it's all
the,
like...
In the case that the Supreme Court ruled on,
uh-huh.
the defendants in that case were talking about blowing up a transformer. They were... There were electrical workers. They were shooting at transformers. Those were the acts that they were conducting. However, it was the ruling was: look, you cannot interfere with legitimate union interest. Now, union.
So this
protest,
is a legitimate union labor dispute. They're saying.
Well, with these jobs. So the words that came out of that Supreme Court ruling were, and they didn't define what legitimate was, but they said this is what it is not. You can't go after imposed, unwanted, superfluous and fictitious services. Hmm. You can't seek those jobs. In other words, jobs that are created just to make you go away, feather-bedding jobs. What the prosecution continues to say in this case is these Teamsters were looking for jobs that were unwanted by the company, that were unnecessary and superfluous. What the defense attorneys are saying is, no, they were seeking replacement jobs. And the replacement would be they would take the jobs of non-union people who would be let go. So that was a replacement. It wouldn't be an additional job. The additional job would constitute extortion. If you were threatening them for additional jobs that aren't wanted, that would be extortion. But if you're looking for replacement jobs, the defense argues, that's not extortion. It's legitimate union activity.
Gosh,
it's complicated.
It's so complicated, David. I mean, does it sound like your run-of-the-mill labor dispute, right? I mean, this feels like there's a lot more behind what this case is actually trying to argue.
But when you consider how many union protests by history, in history, and by their nature, involve turmoil, sometimes violence. This is a long history.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court did not want to go there. They did not want the federal government going there in a case of legitimate union activity. They spelled out what the limits were. Now those are going to be tested, by the way, because we have a case under appeal now involving two Teamster members who were indicted and convicted in 2014 in this district. They were convicted. That's now under appeal. And the members of the appeal court, they've already had their hearings. We're awaiting a decision by that appeals court. But one of the appeals court justices said, look, is this legitimate activity or is it extortion?
Yeah.
That's the question.
All right. So, David, we just have a little bit of time left, say about a minute and a half. And I'd love for you to talk a bit about the political implications here. I mean, are there any? I think of Mayor Marty Walsh, who's been a close ally of unions, a former labor leader himself, running for re-election this year. And unions are a big part of his campaign. Is there sort of any trickiness that he's walking, a sort of fine tightrope?
Well, he has two staffers, two city hall officials,
mm-hmm.
both under the gun now, Kenneth Brissett. Kenneth Brissett called two Boston restaurants in this particular case and warned them that the union, the Teamsters, would be picketing them if they hosted their television show there. That's the basis of a charge against Kenneth Brissett. Hasn't gone to trial. And there's another case involving him and Timothy Sullivan, another city hall official, for involvement with Boston is calling and making the same kind of what one the defense would say pro-union statements. The prosecution would say extortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so they haven't gone to trial yet. We're awaiting this appeal and the outcome from the appeals court. That may well determine what happens with them. And until then, we're awaiting this jury verdict.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the mayor's going to be paying close attention to all of it.
All right, I bet. Well, thank you so much, David.
You're welcome.
That's WBUR senior reporter David Boeri speaking to us from the Moakley Federal Courthouse in Boston.